Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled in the fifth, but they had faith in you. And you
Oh, yes, the American stylings of the legend, John Phillips Sousa? Are you a big fan? I actually used to listen to him quite a bit when I was a teenager for some reason. I just thought it was so inspiring. But then I found out a lot about America that it was really disappointing. So
I can't say I'm much of a Sousa man.
Hey, you know, you don't hear a lot about him anymore. It's kind of like Lucille Ball. She came back into the zeitgeist recently with that new movie. It's with Nicole Kidman as Lucille Ball. And you just didn't hear a lot about certain parts of the periods of time of history because they're just not as cool anymore.
He does have that an instrument named after himself, right? Isn't there a sousaphone?
That is correct. Yes. Cool. Yeah, sousaphone's kind of like a tuba and a baritone in between. More like a baritone, actually, as far as I remember. I was in band in middle school, and I played the French horn for a couple of years before I got cool and switched to percussion. And then I felt cool. I was like, all right, now I'm cool. Because percussion is for the cool dudes, and you know, French horn is for words that you grow out of, and you realize you're immature or stupid at the time when you say them. So,
French horn is sexier than its cousin, the English horn, I would say, though.
I would agree. I loved the French horn. Looking back now, I'm grateful I had the chance to play it. Anyways, you guys don't give a shit about that. This is the Prospect Power Half Hour. We are live, Plausible Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's.
Utah, give me 2.
It is a new year, a new opportunity. Me and Phil Goyette, we do it. Half hour or less. Get in, get out, and get on with our lives. We jumped out a tad early, so sorry about that. I realized my brother's flight was coming home today. I didn't realize that until they texted me. Like, all right, we're getting ready to go. I'm like, oh, shoot.
Wait.
Yeah. I thought it was Thursday. Whoops. So, anyways, I've been out of it, I guess. Just hanging out with the girlfriend the last few days, and I don't pay attention to life as much. I got to work on that. Anywho, it's a new year, and we still have no baseball. And I got to ask you this, Phil, because I've had a few discussions recently with some of the big wigs of the fantasy baseball realm, or at least people in that excitement right now with the lockout. Like, you think it's going to end sooner than later? How's your vibe?
No. I do think it's going to end. I think we get a season. I wouldn't be surprised if it went like right to the wire, or we have some kind of shortened spring training, but they start the regular season on time or something weird like that. But I think they'll get, if not 162, close to 162 in this year. I think they'll make it happen.
But, so do you think?
I'm not feeling great right now about baseball at all. So,
yeah, I'm not feeling the excitement to talk about it because there's still so much left to be done, and I don't trust these two sides. And I gotta give a shout out to my guy John Leguiza, who is known as MLB Moving Averages. He's a great guy. I love John. Love his show. Cork Stats. Very, very wise when it comes to the way of fantasy baseball. But he's been trying to give me a history lesson or a life lesson on how the media works. And I swear, I'm like, I know how the media works because I posted something by Jeff Passan a week ago that said the two sides have no plans to meet and they're not any closer. And John's like, oh, this is just media hype, man. You're falling into the trap. You just got to post something all the time. And then this week, yesterday, or maybe it was today even, Passan posted that the two sides are going to meet for the first time this Thursday. And then John gave me even more shit for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to meet, and basically it's unilateral, though, right? The owners are just going to say, here's what we'll give you, and I'm sure the players are going to walk at that point. I don't know.
Shocking. Shocking!
I wonder who you think has more urgency to get it done. Like, I think the owners can obviously have the security blanket of their money to be able to afford to miss the time. So then it's sort of like, who are the fans? Whose fandom going to pin it on if we miss half a season or something? And I think it's the players, unfortunately, right?
Really?
I think that's who a lot of fans, maybe sentiment has changed a lot in the last 20 or 25 years, but I don't know. A lot of people are quick to buy that. These guys are spoiled millionaires playing a game. They should just get out there and put the work in, you know?
I think that was definitely the case back in the early days of our existence anyways, when we had the original strike and the lost 94 season. Yeah. And I think there's a lot more blame about players because the messaging hadn't changed yet. But I think it's changed a lot over the last 25, 30 years. More people see the owners as scumbags too. I think they're all just scumbags to a lot of people. But I think more so, there's a lot of people who are pro-player just because things have gone so backwards for the players with these minor league situations, particularly with our prospect people that we love to talk about here.
You know what might be cool, though, is if MLB does drag its feet on getting the deal done, we're still going to have college baseball, which is an absolute blast to watch if you've never followed college baseball. A lot of people follow college football, college basketball. College baseball is great. All the big programs have teams, and there's smaller programs that are cool, that are only like successful in baseball, that are fun to follow. ESPN plays a ton of games. If you get the ESPN Plus subscription, you can watch like all the games. We'll have college baseball. We'll have the minor leagues, right? So the minor leagues won't be bound by the CBA. They will play. Minor leaguers can play.
If it gets that far.
We'll have baseball starting up in Korea and Japan and China.
China.
Soon. Yeah. Taiwan. But sooner than later. So those leagues actually start before MLB does usually. So there's going to be lots of baseball to watch still. And maybe it'll get people into seeing baseball elsewhere around the world outside of just the MLB context, which would be cool because there's a ton of great ball out there.
Well, that did happen before with the KBO when we had the COVID season. The KBO became everything every day. I didn't get into it. I kind of actually found a lot of peace in my life. I went out and did other things, even though you weren't supposed to go anywhere. I went outside and I was in touch with nature more. It was a good time for me. It's cool. The KBO got more pub, and I'm all for that. I think Alex Fast really took advantage of that, too. So he was on ESPN more, and more people, even Jeff Erickson, a lot of cool people in fantasy baseball world got more time on ESPN because of that, too.
Yeah. So maybe that'll be a good byproduct or benefit if they do drag their feet.
I remember back in like 2006-ish, they started coming out with this college baseball video game. It was like MVP baseball, but it was, remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I didn't play it much, but I know some people were super into the game.
I thought it was so cool. I just love radical new ideas like that because it seems, you know, I was looking back here. I was on the break. I was playing some of my old retro games. I went into the emulators I got, and I was like, oh man, I haven't played this in a minute. I was playing John Madden died over the break as well. So I went back in time and I was like, oh man. Madden was huge for me, especially in the 90s. And when Madden 96 came out, that was a big one. And then when the PlayStation 1 came out and then the first Madden edition came out, Madden 97, that was huge. I remember I was like, oh my God, there's video and it's him right there.
You had the polygon guys going to catch the ball with their, like the triangle hands. Oh!
It actually looked worse. They actually made it look worse by 1999 for some reason. Because if you look at the 97 edition of the first Madden, The graphics actually don't look as triangly and polygonish. And for some reason, it got worse on the PS1. I'm not sure why that happened, but it's really bizarre. But at any rate, we had options. My point is we had options. We had had Madden. You could also play Tecmo Super Bowl, which they were still making for Sega Genesis. They made 1, 2, and 3 up until 1996. Those were good games, too. And then you also had a third one. There was another football game that the primetime, the original early days of Sega Sports was called Primetime Football. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, options. Joe Montana football before it. I was
right, exactly.
Tecmo Super Bowl guy was my jam. I always play Tecmo.
I played the first week of the season with the Lions from Tecmo Super Bowl, the first one on Genesis, which would have been the '94 team. And okay. I just killed the Falcons, murdered them. Barry Sanders had like 230 yards. Total domination. Total domination. Anyway, you're not here for Barry Sanders talk, although me and Phil could probably talk about Barry Sanders all day. I would.
Yeah. I'm thinking I have a Michigan-related lockout story that I'm thinking of now that we're talking about lockouts. Remember the NHL got locked out? They actually didn't play a season. I can't remember. Mid-2000s.
04-05.
Yeah. Yes. And some of the guys went and played for minor league teams. I'm just now recalling this. But if you remember Darian Hatcher, Detroit native, played for the Dallas Stars, well, North Stars and then the Dallas Stars. But then he eventually played for the Red Wings at the tail end of his career. He went and played for my hometown Flint Generals for like a half a season that year. You know, really? The Flint Generals are like, they play at the IMA ice arena that sat about 700 people. And, you know, just a classic beer league, basically playing like beer league hockey for half a season. So maybe that would be cool. Like, you know, some rando minor league teams get some major league players to cross the picket line and come play for them or something. That would be awesome.
Well, we've already seen several signings, not of the biggest players, but there's been quite a few players who have signed over in Asia in the Japanese leagues and KBO to a lesser extent. So, you know, I can pull up a list of some of those players right now, but there is a thought that more players will do that if they feel there's uncertainty that continues to brew. And I want to clarify this, too. I'm in the minority. Everybody I talk to is being optimistic and thinks this deal will get done by the end of January, no later than February. And I guess I'm not trying to be a buzzkill. I just, there's so much animosity here that I don't know that's going to just end like that.
Yeah. I think they'll do with like a shortened spring training or something and maybe make that work. But I'm thinking now let's... I can finally talk fantasy baseball relevant stuff here. On the uncertainty thing with players going to Asia, we also have Asian players for our first-year player drafts to consider. And I did see something on Twitter yesterday maybe that Seiya Suzuki, who is the big Japanese posting, hasn't signed with anyone yet. And there's a chance he might just return to the NPB, return to Japan this year to play this season. Because there's so much uncertainty in the United States between the MLB deal, MLBPA deal, and then also COVID. So he might take a risk-averse approach, which might be smart for him, and stay in Japan another year and then get posted next year instead.
Yeah, that's very, very possible. By the way, I was reading up on today on CBSSports.com, the best free agent signings for every franchise. Because, you know, you got to fill the content when you don't have your baseball content in January.
Yeah.
What was the Tigers' number one, by the way?
Go Tigers!
It's pretty obvious.
Free agent signing?
Free agent only. Free agent signings only. The number one was what?
Did they sign Miggy or did they trade for him? I don't remember.
Traded.
Oh,
traded.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll give you a couple options. There's Tony Phillips, Darrell Evans, and Ivan Pudge Rodriguez. One of those three was the number
one. It has to be Pudge, right?
There it is. Yeah. Christian Crespo right on cue. Who knows his Tigers? He's worked for the Tigers, so he's cheating, by the way. But that's okay, Christian. Hey, Christian. What's up, man? Happy New Year.
Darrell Evans. That's a good one.
That was a great one. He hit 40 bombs for the Tigers easy. Came over from the Braves or the Giants. I'll have to double check that. But either one of those. He played for both teams. And he was although he did make, it's not his fault, the 87 playoff series against the Twins. I believe it was game three. They come back to Detroit. They got to win this game to keep the series kind of on track. And Darrell Evans makes a terrible blunder at third base. I don't know why he was playing third base at 41.
Yeah, right.
He was way too far gone. Sparky kind of, man, Tom Brookins. Where was Tom Brookins that day? Why was Darrell Evans playing? I mean, I guess they needed the offense. They felt desperate. I don't know. Hey, right. That was the number one. One of the best free agent signings ever for any team was the National signing of Max Scherzer in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seven years, 215.
The Tigers traded for him from Arizona and then didn't sign him, re-sign him, right? Yes. Oof.
Yep.
Oof.
Max Scherzer had not been. He got a late start to his career. Like, he didn't pile up a lot of innings. He didn't become a starter until later in his career, too. So at 24, he had a very fresh arm. And I was of the opinion at the time, and I knew the Tigers were falling apart, their whole run was falling apart by 2014, that he wasn't going to re-sign, but I was wishing that they would because he was going to be worth the rare pitcher at his age who was going to be worth the whole contract. And he was. He just signed another mega deal with the Mets. It proves that whole deal was worth it.
Yeah, definitely. They went and got Jordan Zimmerman instead, right?
Yeah. Jeez Louise. Jordan Zimmerman, no offense, but even you knew, you just, you know, you threw that no-hitter your last day with the Nationals after Steven Souza made that miracle catch on the last day of the season, and then you signed with the Tigers, and it was already over anyways for the Tigers. Not your fault, Jordan Zimmerman. I don't blame you.
No Tigers.
Don't.
Steven Souza phone. Steven Souza phone.
Hey, oh, my gosh.
It's a doozy.
That is a doozy. What a perfect way to bring the show together. We didn't even plan that. That's amazing. Well done, Phil. Well done. Here, here. Woo! Wow.
Always know if the juice is worth the squeeze.
It was definitely worth the squeeze on the show. I can't believe we did the Souza connection from the beginning to the end. That's fantastic. So some of the guys that signed overseas recently, by the way, they're not like your biggest heavy hitters or studly players, but Rio Ruiz, do you remember him? Rio Ruiz?
Yeah, he was supposed to be, he was a hot prospect. I want to say he was a top 100 prospect at one point. And a nice all around player. He just, the bat never came along to be productive enough to let him stick in it, even in like the Baltimore lineup, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say it was, yeah, he was part of that big trade with the Braves, I want to say, off the top of my head. But, yeah, that's – okay, that's him.
Yep.
I really thought he was going to be good. I thought that was a nice part of the deal, but it didn't work out that way. So,
yeah.
Hey, Ray, he's overseas now, so you can watch him play there if that's your thing. If you're getting baseball ill, he's going to be playing in Nippon Professional Baseball, I believe. So that'll be exciting.
Cool.
You prefer Nippon or the KBO?
MPB. It's fun to watch. I mean, they're both fun to watch. The CPBL, the Chinese Pro Baseball League, is fun too. But they have a lot of good production value in the games. When you check them out, they've got some cool camera work. They have very good kind of like pitch tracks, pitch FX that shows like pitch type and stuff as it's happening, spin rates, velocity.
Nice.
They're cool. They're fun to watch. MPB can be a little more old school style of bunting and run production, old school style. So
never put your don't have your fingers outward. Don't do that.
Yeah. And there's always a lot of pitching. Those leagues have a lot of talented pitchers.
I think he's like Ivan Nova.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Nova went over. There's a lot of good Asian pitchers. To follow that we'll get to the bigs over here too often and be successful. So
go Tigers.
Yeah. Ivan Nova, former legendary Tiger.
And White Sox.
Don't forget. Yeah. Well, we're really known as a White Sox, I would say. Pittsburgh Pirates for a minute. Yasiel Puig went over there too. So he's going to be playing. He's back in baseball. Good for him. And then one of the big surprises was, I don't know if this deal got locked in though. The Gregory Polanco was going to go over and play there, which seemed like a career that wasn't over yet, but he just never... Gregory Polanco, man, how many people had him in Dynasty were expecting huge things, and he just did not...
Me.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was going to be a killer speed-power combo.
Yeah, just didn't quite click, but yeah, no, Polanco, man, he seemed great. Who else did they have that, like, Jose Tabata? If you remember him in the Pirates system? They had a lot of guys that didn't quite work out that seemed talented, but it didn't happen. But you just gotta keep throwing darts if you're playing in dynasty leagues. Just like even in the bigs, those orgs have to keep trying. So keep throwing darts. If you got Rio Ruiz and you thought he was gonna be the next big thing and he got moved on to the MPB, you gotta move on yourself too.
Yes. Yes, you do. I want to give a shout out, by the way, to one of my favorite dudes. That's Robbie Baseball here from the Dingers podcast. And he got me into his league. This league is hardcore. We signed with the Yomiuri Giants. That's official. Wow. Okay. Thank you, Christian. That's a live chat. You guys can jump in anytime and give us information. Tell us what we got wrong, what we got right. If you have questions, commentary, you guys are always usually very active. We jumped out a little bit early today. Maybe we threw off the karma of our timing of our show. That's my fault. I got to pick up my brother at the airport right after this. So I'll take the blame for this if it's that's the reason why. But we love having you guys' interaction on the show. So thank you, Christian, for doing that. By the way, so double shout out here. Christian has doing his own prospects videos with the Triple Play Fantasy Network, along with our other pal, our Detroit pal, Marty Tallman. So go check those out over on the Triple Play Podcast Network. Christian just started doing those. I like Christian a lot, and he's got a lot of experience with the Tigers. He knows prospects and Dynasty very, very well. So something you want to be involved in heavily. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I like quick video recaps of players, too. Those are excellent.
Who the hell don't, all right? Yeah. I mean, it's just like heaven to me. That's how I see it. Just like heaven. What's the best Cure song?
That might be it, actually.
Pretty good.
I don't know.
I think I'm going to go with either Pictures of You or
Pictures.
Yeah, I think I'll go with that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a good one. Yeah. Like Heaven is that's good. A good one. Fascination Street.
Yes.
No, Disintegration. I think that's my favorite. Well, I like a lot of Cure songs, I'm not going to lie. So.
Yeah. One of them, I can't remember which album, but one album, so Robert Smith comes over to Ireland, I think just to visit somebody or something, and he's walking around Ireland, and he goes to a town called Bray. Bray is in the county Wicklow, which is just south of Dublin, and Bray itself is just kind of south of Dublin, and it's on the sea. Cool town. Sinead O'Connor had a big house there for a while, actually. Kind of an arty sort of vibe. Mountains nearby. And Robert Smith, I don't know which album they're recording, but he goes into, stays in Bray, and he finds this old graveyard and an orchard nearby, and he starts wandering around, and he says, you know what? I'm just going to stay here and record the album because I like the vibe so much.
Really?
Yeah, so he was very enamored with the place and came out with, now I'm going to have to look up which album he recorded here, but great band. The Cure is awesome. Really.
Oh yeah. The song I was thinking of is Letter to Great Jangle.
Yeah. Great Jangle Pop group. Really? You know, the Jangle Pop.
Oh
style.
Man. This Jangle Pop terminology is new to me over the last year. I learned about it. And yeah. Everybody's using it, and now I'm familiar with it. But I was not familiar with it. But I wouldn't know if I'd call them Jangle Pop because they're so, so interesting in other arenas. Like, you know, like, I don't know, gothic, the goth, dark, mm-hmm. You know, I'm depressed. I don't know, emo even. There's a lot of ways you can go with the Cure, frankly.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, that's true. They're jangly as well. And the song I was thinking of is Letter to Elise. That's a deep cut on one of their albums that I love. It's a great song. Really well done. He's really sorry about whatever happened with Elise, and that's okay. So the shout-out I was going to was Robbie from the Dingers Podcast. Please check out the Dingers Podcast. My Canadian pals, Robbie and Ty, they do it as well as anybody in the biz when it comes to Dynasty Talk. Their show is exclusively about Dynasty Baseball, Fantasy Baseball. So please check out the Dingers Pod. And Robbie got me into one of his leagues. This is hardcore, and I shared my roster with Phil. This
so you
is,
got some work to do.
Yeah, I got some work to do. It's not great, but I took over the Pirates. So you take over. It's a full-on 30-franchise league. It doesn't mean it's the Pirates of now. I'm just the Pirates technically in my division, but there's no other really Pirate players. I have Julio Rodriguez, which is exciting, so that's good.
Yes, that's as good as it gets. That's about as good as it gets, prospect-wise. So then you got to decide what's your window. Like, when is he up? He's probably up this year and contributing next. So, like, really contributing next year, fantasy asset-wise, 20, 30 bucks.
Not this year? He's not contributing in 2022?
He should, but I just don't know that you're going to want to bank on it because a lot of people were doing that with Kelnick last year and look what happened. So,
it's gravy. But is Rodriguez's bat more pro-ready?
I don't know, man. Everybody thought Kelnick's hit tool was great and that he also had a lot of power and that he really looked MLB ready, I think. So,
you're right.
It's maybe not even the bat being ready or not. It's just making the adjustments. I guess Julio hasn't really – he's been able to make adjustments at every level, no problem. I guess Kelnick sort of did too, but anyway, from a dynasty perspective, if he contributes for you this year, that's gravy. That's Lagniappe, as the Cajun French cousins call it, the cream on top, ooh, the little extra. So I would think you build her on next year.
Okay. Lagniappe, that sounds good.
Lagniappe.
I do love Cajun food, by the way. So
that's the cream anything on Cajun. Top, the Lagniappe. Yep. So I think you're looking 2 year. I always try to play dynasty in 2 year windows anyway. So
really, like winning all the time in 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Christian says J-Rod was able to get the full season in the minors after COVID. That's correct.
That's an interesting point I didn't think of. So maybe that's part of why Kelnick had the hard time he had.
You've talked about this, Phil. You're very wise with the prospects. And by the way, you should be following Phil on Twitter at @PhilLoveSports. If you're listening to the audio version of this, you're not seeing the screen where it's right in front of you. And I'm at MJ Govier. Hit us up with questions. You know, we asked last week to get the twits going. The twits? Yeah, darn it. Come on, Mike. The tweets going about prospect questions. Phil, did you get any, or are we still a little dry on that front?
Still a little dry, but I had a couple people I wanted to bring up because I was working up some numbers before we went on with this run creation average statistic that I'm messing around with. And
yes,
looking at AAA and looking at age 24 and under. And one of the hitters that came up on the top of the charts was Nick Plummer. So Nick Plummer, we got stumped by Matt Williams on about a month ago. Plummer was signed as a minor league free agent by the Mets. So they went and gave him a contract as a major league contract, even though he was a minor league free agent. Plummer had a run creation average of 305 last year in AAA. So run creation average, just think of it just like batting average, but instead of batting average, it's encompassing all the offensive skills. So instead of just hitting for average, it's hitting for power, getting on base, stealing bases without getting caught stealing. But you can think of it just like batting average. So he was a 305 hitter. So 300 hitter and above is very good. 325 and above is elite. So he had an excellent season last year, and that could be like a real savvy scoop from the Mets to make that move on him. But I had to laugh when I saw his name on the chart because we definitely got – or I know I got stumped by him, by Matt. So that was good.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I love that. That's great. I'll still remember that on the show forever. But – that means Nick Plummer should just always be a part of our little zeitgeist on the Plausible Podcast. 2Ls, 2Zs on Twitter. Follow us. The YouTube channel. We have really made another big push. We're all closing in on 180. We're almost to 200 subs now. So we've made a nice push recently. I'm really, really pleased with that. Thank you. Yeah. Woo! And check out. So, Phil, what do you expect to do with this run creation stat? Are you still fine-tuning it, or you don't want to share it with the world in a really specific way yet? Is it a teaser?
No, it's ready to rock, I think. I just need to get some sheets out. But for shout purposes, if you can follow, I think you maybe had him on the show. Did you have Kyle of Pitcher Diggs?
Yes, of course. Okay. Yes.
So, if you follow Kyle on Twitter, I think it's – I'm looking up the handle now because I'm not positive. But I think it's at Pitcher Diggs. Mm-hmm. Kyle took our run creation process and made some nice charts that you can play around with in the Google Data Studio. He shared them, and he added his own kind of age adjustment. So it age weights the average. So if you're young for your level, your average will go up some.
It's at Diggs Pitcher, by the way. At Diggs Pitcher.
At Diggs Pitcher. So give Kyle a follow. He has his own game score system for pitchers, which is great to follow. And it's also really easy to understand because it's rated on a 0 to 100 scale, like Madden, or, you know, like any kind of player rating that we're used to, like, you know, Barry Sanders is a 98 overall or whatever. So the Pitcher Diggs works that way. And he has his own hits for hitters rating system that works the same way. But he looked over the method and liked it and threw together some leaderboards, which are really cool to look at. So he's already got them up. You can check those out. I'll have a Google sheet up in the next week or so sharing it with people. And then ideally I'll make it for minor leaguers, college players, major league players. What I like about it, it's the same system you can use across all different levels of baseball.
Hell yeah. Dude, great call. Thank you so much for this. This is what we do on the show. We try to give you guys new ideas, keep it real. As far as that league with Robbie and my Pirates, I'll talk more about that next week as well. We talked about Julio Rodriguez, but my pitching is a disaster. I'm inheriting an awful pitching lineup, and this is full contracts and everything, so it's very detailed with the money, the salaries, and okay. You got to do all this stuff. This is about as deep as it gets, and I'm really excited about that. We're waiting for the dispersal draft, which is the new owners will come in, which is about seven of us, and then we'll go from there. But some guys are automatically free agents, so we're not accessible to us. Yeah, so it goes. At any rate, I want to say final word, Phil.
Yeah. The next Al Avila is all I was going to say. We can live the dream.
Avila! I wanted to ask you real quick as we close out the show here. Thanks for joining us on this week's edition. We jumped out a bit early, so we jumped the gun on you guys. Sorry about that. Usually it's always at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays, but I got to go pick up my brother's coming back from Cancun. Oh, yeah. It's not like that at all. It's really boring. It's not like spring break. I don't know why I said it like that. But Bob Saget passed away. Were you a Bob Saget fan? Do you have any final words?
I was, yeah. I was thinking of the film Dirty Work, which came out when we were in high school, and we thought was just absolutely hilarious, which he wrote alongside Norm Macdonald, who also passed this year. So kind of.
And he directed.
And Farley was in the movie, who's dead. And of everybody in the movie, Artie Lang's still alive, right? Somehow.
Whoa! Is that a tweet? Is that a meme? Have you? Because you could probably get some viral ground on that alone. That's a great point.
Yeah, that was a hilarious movie. I haven't probably seen it in 20 years, but we watched the shit out of it back in high school.
Oh, are you kidding me? I love Dirty Work.
Note to self, remember no matter how bad life gets, there is always beer.
Directly from the film, there it is. It's kind of funny you mentioned that because I downloaded, it's weird that Bob Saget passed away. I just downloaded a ton of Dirty Work drops about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I was thinking, oh, I love Dirty Work and I need more Dirty Work drops. And I didn't have them. I was like, what am I doing here? So, Bob Saget, you're a good dude.
We eat the pig and then together we burn.
A bizarre Adam Sandler cameo in that movie as well, which is really funny. So
good stuff. You know, I talked to my daughters about it because they love the Fuller House remake. You know, the Full House remake. Now my kids watch it, and so we had to talk about, you know, Bob Saget passed away, and then tell them the story about, you know, when I was a kid, you had to wait for the TV on Friday night to show the shows you wanted to watch as they're sitting at breakfast watching on their tablet on demand and saying, shut up, Dad, I'm trying to watch this. So,
yeah, we really got it bad. We got a raw deal, man. Jeez. Well, hey, that's how it goes. At any rate.
Yeah.
Rest in power, Bob Saget. So there it is. This is another edition of the Palazzo Podcast Prospects Power Half Hour. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for coming on and asking questions. Christian Crespo, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Phil of Sports on Twitter, PHIL. Phil of Sports, MJ Govier, hit us up. Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls, 2Zs. We welcome all of you. We thank you. We love doing this show. It's a quick hitter. We get in, get out. We're doing it once a week. We're going full bore. We're dedicating every week a half hour of the week. We're always going to find time for you guys. So we appreciate it. In the interim, hit us up on these Twitter handles. That's where we do most of our business. And make sure you ask the prospect questions. I know the lockout has slowed down right now, but Phil is foaming at the mouth to dive in on what's going on with your dynasty teams. Phil's big into dynasty, too. It's not just prospect-driven. Of course, dynasty is prospect-driven. But if you're winning, you're trying to win and sell your prospects for players that can help you now. Right, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely. Spot on.
Bing, bing.
Get those questions in. Let's chat it up next time.
By the way, and Phil was still able to do the show on a camera that is older than hell, a computer that is like 15 years old. So well done to Phil. The fact that he looks this good and we can hear him this clearly, you guys have no idea how impressive this is today. So thank you to the old technology for getting you to the show.
Yeah, I made it. Linux for the win.
All right. Linux for the win, everybody. Hey, don't forget to play your sousaphone this week, and we'll see you guys next week, Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Ta-ta.
Power prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wander Franco is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just